Back with you once again, chatting it up Tuesday style, June the 3rd, 2025 on Connecticut Today. We had my thoughts on a bill to finally give some statewide relief to customers of United Illuminating and Eversource around the state. But really, is it enough to get excited about? State Senate Republican leader Steve Harding dropped by to chat about the last-minute wheeling and dealing at the Capitol, and Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio shared what she found going through many bills, some line by line, as the General Assembly got ready to end its current session. Well, it may be nice, and you never looked a gift horse in the mouth, but it doesn't solve the problem. And we're talking about this energy bill that, thankfully, and to my surprise, looks like it's finally going to pass in Hartford, and it'll give you folks, all the people in Connecticut, with the exception of people who live or work in 10 different municipalities who own their own grids, Wallingford being one, parts of Norwalk, also parts of Groton and other areas. But with the exception of those 10 areas in the state, you got to pay either the Piper, you got to pay either Eversource, you got to pay UI through its parent company, Avangrid. And we've been talking about this for 2-3 years right now. We had our buddy Scott Pearson initiate that very, very well-received online petition about a year, year and a half ago. And now finally people are paying attention. So this is nice, but it doesn't really solve the long-term problem. And you just heard top of the hour there from our pal Chris Williams about local legislators saying, hey, they're going to pass something over the next 2 years that is going to save customers between $325 million and $350 million a year for the next 2 years. So I guess that's kind of good, right? $650 to $700 million? So the bottom line is, if this passes, and it likely will, you're going to see a savings of about $100 a year for the next 2 years. So $100 a year, that's going to save you, you know, something that a lot of people scoffed at earlier on. It's going to save you about, don't spend it all in one place, as my mother used to say. It's going to spay. Now, look, I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. I already said that famous phrase. Don't check the teeth. Can the horse stand up? Don't worry about the gums being good or anything. Can the horse operate all four limbs here? So basically, about $100 or a little more a year for many customers. So you divide that by 12, and even I can tell you that's $8 and a few cents a year. How do you feel about that? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. I mean, it's nice if somebody wants to hand me an extra $8 and 25 or 30 cents a year, whatever that would be, you know, to help pay the electric bill. Hey, why not? But again, let's take the base fee here of $100 a year. So let's do the quick math here. $100 a year divided by 12 months, not a lot of money. It's $8.34 a month for 2 years. You'll take it, I guess. If you don't want it, give it to me. I'll take it. You can mail it here to Connoisseur Media or send me a Venmo, like the young kids say. How about you Venmo me some money? What? So the bill hopes to save you residentially and I guess commercially, I don't know, $8.34 a month a year. About $100 a year for the next 2 years. State Senator Norm Needleman, you just heard a soundbite from him with Chris, top of the hour, Democrat Essex, co-chairs the Energy and Technology Committee. I know it's technology. Relax. He calls it, quote, one of the most significant things we've done in the past few years. He said, quote, again, we put money back in people's pockets, took a hard look. And much as my colleagues think we can do better, I dare them to try without screwing up the system. Aha! There it is. Damn you, peons. You'll be happy with your $8.34 a month. What's that, 1.5 drinks at Starbucks? Maybe a Starbucks drink and a little cookie there? In addition to providing direct relief for ratepayers, the bill would make a myriad of changes to energy policy in Connecticut, promoting grid-enhancing technologies, lowering subsidies for solar and other renewable energy sources, and offering utilities more flexibility in how they purchase power for their customers, blah, 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 blah. You know what it doesn't address, or at least I don't see it? It doesn't address the long-term problem in the room. It doesn't address the long-term problem in the room, which essentially is two problems. We'll talk about that coming up right here. But what do you think about this? 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. You excited about this or what? What do you think here? A bill to save Connecticut electric customers at least $100 a year for the next 2 years is likely to pass. What are your thoughts? Are you turning cartwheels? Or not? All right, 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Talk or text. So look, don't get excited about this energy bill. Don't get excited about this electric bill. As I said, look, it's going to save you some money. Both parties agreed to it. You want to put money back in people's pockets. That's not the issue here. And I guess this energy bill to pass, what, 34-1 or 35-1, something like that, practically a bipartisan passage there, which is good in any other event. But it doesn't handle the two elephants in the room. It just doesn't. There are two big issues in the room that basically stay in place. Republicans wanted to get rid of the entire public benefits charge from customers' bills and pay for those programs through the state budget. But that's not going to happen. They removed, from what I understand, a little bit of the money, but not all of it. And the problem maintains is that we're not looking ahead. And I know there may be some stuff granted in the bill. I haven't read it page by page. But this is a long-term problem. And there's a quote here that just signifies this. Norm Needleman, Democrat Essex, co-chair of the Energy and Technology Committee. Now get this. He says here, now listen to this quote. I want you to listen to this. And this is the problem we have in Hartford. Nothing in particular against Senator Needleman or anybody from either party. But this is what I am talking about. He said, quote, "We put money back in people's pockets, took a hard look, and as much as many of my colleagues think we can do better, I dare them to try without screwing up the system." Now, that's your problem. Well, we can't do it because it'll screw up the system. Like the system's working well? Seriously. Well, we can't do it because we'll screw up the system. Yes! Screw up the freaking system! What are we so afraid of? God almighty, this makes my head explode. Well, you know, we can, oh. Basically, Needleman is saying here, take your $8.34 a month and go be quiet. We can't do any better. Bull crap. They treat us like children every freaking day. Oh, we know better than you. You do? It's like they treat us like dogs. Here, good boy, give me your paw. Who gets a treat? Every one of those little treats on our tongue is $8.34. Come on, Norm. It is infuriating to me that we don't look ahead in this state. We are constantly patching holes. You know who we are in this state? I don't even know the guy's name. Who's the guy, the Flex Seal guy, right? With the stuff in the can. The Flex Seal guy. Hey, watch this. I'm going to cover the bottom of this boat in Flex Seal. And then he goes up, bum, 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 into the water. That's us. I'm going to start calling this the Flex Seal State. We're always patching the freaking holes. We never do the major repairs or, God forbid, buy a new boat. Honey, you got that can of Flex Seal? Yeah, here you go, sweetheart. Oh, we'll fix it now. My God. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Well, you know, because of the public benefits, and we can't change it. It's too much money, and it was bipartisan this, and it was partisan that, and it was put in too many years ago. My God, stop it. You sound like freaking children. It's too hard. We can't fix it. Did the 400,000 people who work for NASA and spend billions of dollars in 7 years say no, getting to the moon is too hard? They did it. What did John F. Kennedy say? And I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he goes, we do these things not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Not in Connecticut, though. We don't do that. We have guys like Norm Needleman saying, well, you're going to screw up the whole system. Yes, Norm, screw it up. Blow it the freak up. What are we doing about future energy costs? We've got all these companies that want to come into Connecticut and say, hey, we have these data centers. This AI stuff is going to be big. You think they want to pay the electric rates we have in this state, the second highest electric rates in the country? No. And I tell you one thing, Governor Lamont is dead right on. We don't generate enough power, and we don't bring enough power in. So please, spare me handing other people in this state. Unfortunately, I don't have to worry about it because I do live in Wallingford. Sorry to tell you. But my God, spare me the $8.34 a month for 2 years that it's going to bring some sort of incredible rate relief here. Boy, we have a lot of people in the legislature that move the ball 6 inches and act like they just went for a touchdown. And my God, and they won't. They love that public benefits charge. They love us paying other people bills. They love the green energy this and the green energy that. But here, take your $8.34 a month for the next 2 years, and you'll be happy. I'm telling you, you'll be happy. Yes, you will. Let's head up to the state capitol right now, see how our buddy Senate Republican leader Steve Harding is doing. Steve, how you doing? You hanging out there? It's almost over, Steve. How you hanging?
Yes, sir. Just about a little over 24 hours now till we end session, and we're moving along, and some bad bills that we're voting on, unfortunately, as we move to the end.
Yeah, let me get to this electric bill first, no pun intended. Listen, Steve, it's good that it's going to yield about $100 per UI or Eversource customer over the next 1 or 2 years. So, you know, you never look a gift horse in the mouth. You take the money. But, Stephen, I think you said something akin to this in some of the press I read. We're always, and this is me saying it, not you, we're always kind of patching holes here, Steve. I'm disappointed at the inability of the majority in Hartford to really look forward and come up with a cogent, workable energy plan instead of hearing legislators say, well, boy, this is complicated. We can't do it. Steve, if that was the attitude in this country, we never would have landed on the moon. You know what I mean?
Amen. Amen, Paul. And you're exactly right. We have the second highest electric rates in the country, and it's just beyond unacceptable. There's zero reason for it. The only reason for it really is our terrible policies in Hartford. And after years of residents coming up to Hartford, signing petitions, speaking with each other, speaking with their politicians, we finally heard them and finally did something. But the sad part about it, Paul, is it's only a small step in the right direction.
Yep.
It takes some aspects of that public benefit charge off. It doesn't take all of it off. The majority of the public benefit charge you're still going to see on your bill. The fact of these renewables being subsidized and these Green New Deal initiatives being pushed by Democrats that are continuing to drive up your electric rates exponentially in here in Connecticut. All that stuff is still continuously being pushed. And it's exactly the reason why we're unfortunately going to stay in the place where we're probably still going to be the second highest electric rates in the country, despite the fact that we made some small steps towards reducing some programs off the public benefit charge. But as Senator Fazio said when he spoke on this bill, he's been a real champion on this issue for Republicans in the state. This is a small step. We'll support it. But we cannot pretend even close that we're anywhere close to where we need to be in terms of actually making electric rates here in Connecticut somewhat close to affordable.
Yeah. Steve, now what is this I read here? And I tried as best to explain it to my listeners here. We're supposedly getting close on a budget, but now when you guys and gals are, what, a day and a half out, there's a curveball here with the hospital taxes as we get toward the... Steve, I don't know how your head doesn't explode up there, because I know mine would. So now there's got to be another adjustment of, what, $90 million or something like that?
Well, there's a rumor about that, and I think it is, you know, more so than just the policy itself.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks to the overall issue as it relates to how the Democrats budget here in Hartford.
Yep.
They do not dwell on the details like it's not their money. Unfortunately, they act like it's their money. This is hard-earned taxpayer money, money that really, in many respects, should not be going to us, because so much of it does in terms of taxes and fees, and it all funnels here, your hard-earned money. And Democrats here in Hartford just pretend like it's theirs. And this is how they act when it comes down to crafting a budget, is it's their revenue. It's not. It's not their revenue. It's your revenue. It's your taxpayer money. And when you see it handled in the manner where 24 hours out from a vote, they're coming up with last-minute deals, this is the type of hodgepodge operation that you have. And your taxpayer money is being spent in manners in which there's procedural issues.
Mm-hmm.
There's substantive issues, and that ultimately leads to what you just mentioned right there, where they pass a tax on hospitals that's going to infringe on the care they provide their patients. It's going to infringe on their ability to operate financially. And then all of a sudden, the Democrats and the governor have a last-minute view on this, which says, no, we have to change this now. This is not how you budget. We were supposed to start the budgeting process, Paul, as you know, back in February.
I know.
With public hearings, with discussions from people throughout the state, and actually digesting it then and then crafting something. Instead, the Democrats took what everyone said, disregarded all of it, went into about a private room about a week ago, and then concocted something they're presenting before us now for a vote. It's unfair to us as legislators, but most importantly, it's unfair to the taxpayers of the state.
And finally, Steve, before we let you go, are you and your legislative aides up there and your members in the caucus, are you on rat patrol? Are you looking at that? Do we know what may end up in the implementer bill? Are we spreading the insecticide, Steve? What's going on?
Yeah, no, we have our researchers and our staff, including ourselves, reviewing every single word, every single line item of these, the budget implementer of any bill that comes up here that gets amended over the next few weeks, is there exactly in a few days, I should say, or a few hours at this point, because this is when you see the quote unquote rats, where there's bills where certain senators are given their legislation that they wanted, despite the fact that it couldn't get enough support, where certain communities and are harmed, where taxes or fees are raised. So we are looking on behalf of all our constituents in the Senate Republican Caucus to ensure that last-minute deals do not get thrown into a bill unbeknownst to the general public. So we'll be keeping a watchful eye as we hit the last 36 hours or so here.
All right, Steve, be good. Steve Harding, always good to talk with you. Take care, man. Be
always
well.
A pleasure.
All right, thank you, Steve.
You.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It, sir. Yeah, there he is, Steve Harding, attorney and leader of the Republican State Senate Caucus. Check out this next person, our regular guest here this hour, this time every Tuesday, Megan Portfolio. She of the Hartford Portfolio and the Yankee Institute. Megan, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm doing well. And yourself?
You sound awfully cheery for having a
sit-through. It's fake. This is a fake cheer. I texted you earlier. The legislature is on my last nerve.
Oh, you're texting me like hockey player obscenities here, and I'm like, boy, she sounds awful perky now, let me tell you.
Wow. It's all fake. It's for the audience. Let I don't want to, like, scare them.
Let me start with this. I had a gentleman call the show earlier wanting me to thank you because he was telling a couple of his friends about that little nugget you found in the housing bill. Now, I don't know whether that was still in there or not when it passed, about the union, basically, construction fund in there.
Oh, it's still in there.
Okay, and he said, you know, I didn't hear that anywhere else. I said, well, that's why I have Megan on. And he said he kept telling his friends about this, and their retort was, well, geez, I didn't know that. So there you go.
Well, there's other things that they haven't really reported on having to do with the housing bill.
All right. All right. So let's start with the housing bill because that's been voted on both chambers. Everybody expects Lamont to sign it. We don't really know that definitely yet. But anything else besides that basically union construction company that's in the bill there, anything else my listeners should know about that bill, HB 5002?
Specifically about the bill, but what they should really be concerned with are the lawmakers that are actually putting these bills in who can't even answer basic questions about the bill that they're championing.
Yeah.
For example, when you have a bill that in the title, it says to address the needs of homelessness. Mm-hmm. When asked how many homeless people are in the state, you think that the good senator who was debating the bill from New London, Senator Martha Marks, would be able to at least come up with a ballpark figure. Instead, we get, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then the other part of the bill is to address, you know, housing in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And when asked, well, how many rental units are available in the state? You'd think they would kind of, if you're trying to address a problem, you would think they would be able to actually define the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The answer to that question was, I don't know.
I actually felt, and folks, you can find this on CTN, I felt bad for Martha Marks because how do you go into a debate that you know more people than usual are going to be watching in a contentious bill and you basically don't have any facts, any background to even put up a cogent argument on it. I actually felt bad for her.
You're very sweet.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad. You know what? You have one job to do. You have plenty of time to go on TikTok and talk about Trump this, Trump that.
Yeah.
But you don't have time to actually study the bill that you are presenting to the public, that you are telling that the state needs, that we need to have the state come in and take over local control. So basically have like this centralized state-run zoning.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling that we need this, but you can't answer basic questions about it. Like, you're getting paid to do this. You're not getting paid to do TikTok. You're not getting paid to put like cute little like tweets and Facebook, you know, posts about how awful Trump is and how awful the Republicans are. How about you take that time and you study the bill? Or if you don't know the answer, that's fine. I don't know the answer to everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually haven't even finished reading the budget bill because that got dropped at 4 a.m. yesterday, and I haven't had time to read it. Meanwhile, the House already voted on it, and the Senate's voting on it right now. But this is just how lawmaking's done in the state. We're just going to, like, hop on these things, and we're going to mandate, and we're going to order you to do this, and we're going to take away all kinds of local control. But we don't know why, and we have no answers to anything. And it actually got – there was multiple offensive parts to her debate. One of them was Jeff Gordon, who I can't remember where he's from. But Senator Jeff Gordon, he actually has been – in the planning and zoning world for over a decade.
Yep, yep.
The man knows zoning, and he put in multiple amendments. And it's customary if the other side puts in an amendment and you don't agree with it, that you say why you don't agree with it, and you tell your colleagues, like, hey, don't vote for this amendment because of X, Y, and Z. And whatever your reasons are, those are your reasons, and that's fine, and I respect that.
Sure.
But when you just stand up and say, don't vote for it because I said so, that's offensive to the people that sent you there. You're not doing your job. And this is the worst part of the whole debate.
Yeah.
She actually brought up, or Senator Sampson from Wolcott brought up that whole union sweetheart deal.
Oh.
And wanted to know, you know, he wanted to drill into it a little bit and learn a little bit more, like, why it was there. And instead of answering the question, she proceeded to offend 90% of our construction workforce by calling non-union contractors corrupt.
Yeah.
Their job sites are not safe. They're not paying workers correctly. Martha Marks, who happened to be an ex-union boss,
shocking.
Was president
hold
of
the
local.
Hold on, my shocking face. Yes, go ahead.
Shocking. She literally threw under the bus 90% of our construction workers in this state. Only 8.7 of our private sector construction workforce is in a union. So the only people that can do affordable housing in Martha Marks's world are union contractors, because according to her, non-union contractors are corrupt and they steal and their job sites are not safe. And I will tell you right now, I come from the construction world.
Okay.
I come from sales. I worked in the electrical business for decades.
Yeah.
I had both kinds of contractors. And neither one of them were like safety is like the number one priority. Like, I couldn't even go on the site if I didn't have like my steel shoes on.
Hard hat and your vest and everything.
Oh, yeah. I had my pink hard hat and my pink work boots.
So
I know contractors. I know construction workers. And safety is like literally the number one priority. Like, even over profit. They want safe. I mean, are there accidents? Yes. Are there bad actors? Yes. But the bulk of the contractors and construction workers that I've dealt with, safety is a priority, and they're not corrupt. They're hard workers.
No, no. And you know what? If the non-union ones are corrupt, maybe it's because, I don't know, are there illegals on the job site? Just saying.
Ask her
that.
I'm not going to dig into that. However, but there's been no apology, Paul.
No.
And no one's called her out on this.
No.
I actually got someone from the Association of Builders and Contractors reached out to me and thanked me for reporting on it, because no one's talking about it.
Yeah.
And she's going to get a pass. And this is how this is how they view the non-union members of our public. We're corrupt.
Megan Portfolio is the guest. Check her out, the Hartford Portfolio. Okay, now we're moving into the time of the every budget cycle where we worry about the rats being these little things that are stuck into the implementer bill that become law by a blatant partisan end around. Now, is the implementer out yet? When is that coming out? And if so, how long are they going to have to look at?
Oh, well, its session ends tomorrow at midnight, thankfully.
So, yeah.
I believe I said I have not finished reading the 700-page document yet, but it kind of looks like that's the budget and the implementer. And I think there might be another bill lying around. I don't know if they put it in yet or if they're going to add it to something to just make any kind of like last minute adjustments that they need to do to actually implement the budget. And don't even get me started on that, because I'm taking Thursday, Friday off because I haven't really slept in the past few days because the sessions have been running late and over the weekend. But, I mean, we're already busting guardrails. It's an 11% increase in spending over the 2 years.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking over $55 billion. There's no regard for the spending cap, no regard for a volatility cap. It's spend, spend, spend. And you know what's going to happen? In a few years, when they have all these programs and all these giveaways and they don't have the money left, where do you think they're going to get it? They're going to get it from tax increases. So. Sorry for the doom and gloom, but when you have a supermajority and we're about to end session tomorrow at midnight and we're still debating the budget bill, there's something wrong. They put in 4,000 bills this year, Paul. This is a long session. You know the most important thing is the budget.
Yeah.
This should have been done.
Do that first.
Mid-May.
Do that first.
No,
that
they wait
first.
Till the last minute, and I don't know if it's by design or they don't have their act together.
Of course it's by design. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but no. Come on. I tell people this all the time, and they ask me what you just said. Hey, why is it so late? Because they want to run it up against the deadline. Of course they do.
And we as a people need to be a lot better and hold these elected officials more accountable, because I work. I have money taken from my check, not by choice. They take it from me. And then I should have a right to know how my money is being spent. I shouldn't have to wake up at, you know, I wake up, you know, 6:37 and then finally get the bill. And then they're going to vote on it in a few hours. I can't read that. And the people that should be reading this bill first are the people that are funding it. And that's you and I, the taxpayers. Why can't we have 48 hours? I've seen bills like Ryan Fazio put in a bill this year. It was a bills over a certain amount of pages would require, I think, a 48 hours for the public to read it. And that didn't go anywhere.
The reason they and please, I'm not trying to mansplain or be pedantic here, but I think the reason they don't do that is this isn't 1975 anymore. And if that bill is introduced a month out, 1,000 people are going to do what you do. They're going to download the PDF. A lot of them are going to be lawyers, and they're going to say, hey, look at this, page 55, section 32. This is all kinds of bad language here. They'll get on social media, and then the majority will be bombarded for 3 weeks, and they don't want that. They want to do it as hush-hush and as cloak and dagger as possible. So just
or maybe don't put in 4,000 bills and actually do like a thoughtful job and have legislation that's actually going to improve our state and drive down costs and make it affordable.
Yeah. All right. Before I let you go, how's the dog? Is the dog okay?
Oh, he is loving life because there's a new dog in the neighborhood.
Ooh.
And I think he's sweet on her. Yep.
Oh, okay.
I was getting there. I had to actually move because she's out in the neighborhood and I didn't want him to start barking.
Okay. Megan Portfolio, check it out, the Hartford Portfolio. Listen, take a few days off and we'll talk next week, okay?
All right. Bye, Paul.
Okay, bye. There it is. I'm telling you, she's our gal.